Rashmi Nair with you. It's time for our Smart Speaker series. It is 4:35 on this Wednesday afternoon. And joining us now is Lindsay Broadhead, Strategic Communications and Public Affairs Advisor, and Matt Gurney, journalist and co-founder of The Line, an online magazine. Happy to have you both with us today.
Hey, guys.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am seeing red, Lindsay. I am seeing red.
Oh,
our producer,
why?
Ben Harrison, just brought to my attention the TTC killer story that the Toronto Star just published.
Yes.
It's been sent to both of you as well, right?
Yes.
Jennifer Pagliaro, crime reporter, and Kelly Skirvin, they're reporting that this guy, accused of killing 16-year-old Gabriel Magalhães, at the Kiel subway station on Saturday night, had been released by an Ontario court judge on probation for many offenses. We went through the criminal record that Catherine McDonald with Global News brought up earlier in the show. But now this 22-year-old, he's on probation for sexually assaulting a woman in Toronto less than 2 weeks before he went into that Kiel subway station and stabbed a teenager sitting on a bench. I can't wrap my head around this. If this guy doesn't belong behind bars, who do we have behind bars? Lindsay, how do you make sense of it?
It's crazy. And kudos to the journalists because, you know, we knew that this guy had some criminal history, but to call this a rap sheet is an understatement. This gentleman has been put in jail north of 4 or 5 times at different times, multiple uses of different weapons. There was a razor, there were scissors. He had been ordered multiple times that he couldn't be holding on or be in possession of weapons. He defied those determinations each time. He has known mental health issues. And as you said, his targets varied. And he did have targets. So plus he was known to be wanted in other provinces. So to someone listening like this, it kind of defies the imagination or logic, right? Because this individual, through that cadence of his experience with not only the officers, but the court systems, first of all, why was it never put together that these crimes were repeat crimes over and over and over, and that there was some connection made there? Secondly, why was that never connected to him being wanted in Newfoundland? And to your point, like, why was he on the streets? At a certain point, we need to draw the line, and this, Rashmi, has to be it, right?
Oh, come on. If it's not, I mean, where is the line, right? I mean, the Toronto Star's reporting here is also painting a picture of someone with mental health issues ordered by GTA judges to attend counseling and going in and out of homeless shelters, which is a completely different topic. But that's why you have encampments and parks for people who are homeless, who want to get away from criminals like, well, allegedly, this guy. Matt, what are your thoughts on this? How do we solve this?
Oh, I don't think we do. This is a system that is broken. And I know that I sound like I'm echoing the conservative leader here, but there's no other way to describe this. This is a top-to-bottom system failure. And Lindsay has already identified what I actually think is the key issue here. The Star has given us, and Rashmi, good on you for noting Global's contributions as well. Between these two news organizations, we're learning a lot about this guy, including the fact that he had committed a sexual assault against a woman just a couple of years ago. But what actually jumped out at me, and I'm not surprised Lindsay saw it as well, was also a repeated history of using edged weapons against people. In one case, scissors, as she's noted. In another case, a pair of box cutters. This was a guy who was literally going around in public knifing people. And then we refused to take that seriously until he fatally knifed someone here. I don't waste any time being surprised by things that aren't surprising. And this is a system that is broken. We know it's broken. It will continue to produce results like this until we fix it. There has been some calls for bail reform. form, to try to keep people charged with either violent offenses or especially repeat violent offenses, to actually keep them incarcerated for longer periods of time and not to cycle them in and out of the system. And the political response to that has been, yeah, okay, we'll take a look at that. So I want all the politicians, top to bottom, who are now taking a look at the issue, to show up at this 16-year-old boy's funeral, explain to our parents, don't worry, we're looking at it.
I know. I mean, we had this conversation yesterday on The Rush, in that it's considered punitive to hold someone in custody waiting for trial. But also part of the problem is people are waiting a long time for their trial. So if we sped that up, could that be part of the solution, Lindsay?
Sure. But in this case, just going back to this particular case, I think it's very different if someone conducts a single crime, there's no pattern, there's nothing that indicates this is a repeat offender, et cetera. Keeping them incarcerated for long, long periods of time is an injustice, one could argue. Keeping an individual like this incarcerated at any point in that litany of crimes that he had conducted seems like what it's there for. It seems like that is a social justice element that is benefiting more. And so I don't understand that particular argument in a case like this.
Rashmi, if I can jump in there, I want to 100% echo what Lindsay is saying there, because Rashmi, you have actually identified a critical issue. Our court system is massively overloaded and backlogged. Some of that is the fact that the system is too small. Some of it is because legal proceedings have become more complicated in recent years, recent decades, more motions, more filings. And a lot of it is because the court system is improving on this front. The pandemic has helped, but the court system is still in the paper document and fax machine era. I know there's progress being made, but we've got a long way to go. So yes, that is a real issue. It's something I've written about before. It's a big, big problem. We need to fix it. But in this particular case, the suspect here was not backlogged in the system. He went through the system. He was convicted. He was sentenced to a day and then 2 years of probation. While he's out on that 2 years of probation, he murders the kid.
Right.
That's not a system backlog issue. That's a system failure.
Right, right. I mean, there are mental health issues being flagged in the Toronto Star's reporting of this 22-year-old Jordan O'Brien Tobin. So I wonder if we're seeing judges offering some leniency if there's mental health issues. Also want to flag that today, the man who stabbed a man outside a Toronto mosque in 2020 was found not criminally responsible. So fine, there are mental health issues, but there has to be some criminality aligned with it, right? We can't just have people walking the streets mentally ill and not medicated or supervised. I'm going to say that. What do you think, Lindsay?
Well, yeah, and I mean, what is the core purpose of a legal system or any form of our any of the services that provide community safety? It's community, right? There is the notion that the greater has to be considered, and mental health is not an excuse for poor behavior, and we know. All the studies indicate it. Mental health is also not an indication of violence. It does happen in some occurrences, and it's something else to consider, but there isn't direct connection there. So it's almost a false equivalency in my mind to say that a judge would provide leniency. I don't think, all the people driving right now listening to this show, you don't have to be a judge to understand that if someone is put in jail 3, 4, 5, 6 times with repeated types of behaviors, irrespective of their mental state, that is going to happen again, and there can be no leniency. Because that's the purpose of the system in the first place. Surely, surely that's the purpose.
Hopefully. We will continue this conversation. We got to take a break for traffic. You are listening to our Smart Speaker series with Lindsay Broadhead and Matt Gurney right here on The Rush. Our Smart Speaker series continues on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Rashmi Nair. We have Lindsay Broadhead, Strategic Communications and Public Affairs Advisor, and Matt Gurney, journalist and co-founder of the online magazine titled the line. We'll pick up on another unfortunate story in Toronto. We were talking about the TTC killer, as the headlines are labeling him now, the man who stabbed 16-year-old at Keele subway station on Saturday night. Another story involves a 23-year-old woman last summer who called for help because she was being threatened by an ex-boyfriend, 10 years older than her, 23-year-old Daniela Malia, called Toronto police for help. Officers attended. They spoke to her for about 39 minutes. They went and spoke to her ex-boyfriend for 3 minutes, and they essentially dismissed the case as he said, she said. 72 hours later, she was shot dead in an underground parking lot, and her ex-boyfriend is facing charges in that murder. Now, one police officer is also facing charges for misconduct, including neglect of duty and deceit. In this case as well, the chief, Myron Demku, went to Malia's family to tell them about the allegations and to offer his sincere condolences, which I would point out, Matt, is not a common behavior among police chiefs. So there's that. But then there's this whole story. This officer is suspended with pay while this goes through the court system. Just a failure of the system, essentially. Your thoughts, Matt?
I know it's a different story than what we were talking about before the break, but it's kind of not. And you said a minute ago that the suspect in the recent TTC killing is being called the TTC killer. We're going to have to start getting more specific with that, given the last couple of months we've had. TTC killer doesn't exactly narrow it down anymore. But yeah. to the broader point here, intimate partner violence and domestic violence is a massive red flag. And as you know, I've studied gun control and firearms policy in this country a lot. A great predictor of someone who will eventually go on to commit a murder or an extremely violent act is someone who has been previously accused of intimate partner violence here. Not a one-to-one thing. It's not quite that simple. But one of the easiest red flags we should have is, and if the Americans ever get around to it, they should probably look at it too, is having some kind of automatic red flag for people convicted of a domestic violence offense here. The police need to take this seriously. Like, we've heard stories, we've talked about this from time to time. I'm sure your parents had stories like this. I don't know if your parents were drinkers when they were younger, but like, I've heard stories from my parents, baby boomers, right? One generation ahead of me. Once upon a time, the law enforcement attitude to drunk driving was, whoa, you guys have had a few. Slow it down. Get home safe. Come on, guys. Slow it down out there. Hmm. It took a generation to overhaul how the police viewed impaired driving, to actually make it something where not only was society taking it seriously, but the police were too. To my kind of astonishment, we still haven't had that moment yet with domestic violence. Now would be an extremely good time to start.
Lindsay, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Matt has hit on a really important point, well, many important points, but that this is a different version of the same story we were talking about. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to point out a couple of things. One is that this woman was black. I think that matters. I also think you mentioned that the captain kind of was proactive in addressing this and perhaps did things that there wasn't much precedent on in terms of saying that this was wrong and using quite forceful language against when the accusation came out. Again, the optics for the police force right now are difficult and troubled, and they have been for a long time, especially as it relates to Black and BIPOC relations. So, adding the fact that this is a dispute between a man and a woman and against a woman, can you imagine if this story came out without the proactive nature of the captain, but that there was another, more negligence against, in this case, not only a Black person, but a female Black person. At a certain point, this is going to snowball, and we as a society are not going to trust our systems. We need to trust our systems, and we need to trust our services. And that's what's at risk and at play right now when we keep talking about all these issues, is our confidence, our own security and our trust is highly diminished. That's what's at risk. And I don't know. I don't really have anything intelligent to say beyond it, because it's sad and it's depressing. But I applaud the captain for being proactive. I think you, as leaders now, we need to nip this in the bud and go right out front and proactively and say, this will not happen under my watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Chief Myron.
I want
Dempsey.
More leaders like that. Sorry, Chief. I've been calling you Captain Chief. So,
I want more leaders like that too. Yeah, part of systemic issues is that it's a system, right? And so I think we need to be open to the criticisms that are out there and wear it with humility. That's how I described Chief Demke when I was talking about this. Is we need that humility. We need to be able to say we are not perfect institutions and organizations, and we are going to make mistakes. And when we do, we are going to hold ourselves accountable in that public space, so you can all see that we are going to continue improving. Don't just tell me you're going to improve in a press release. You know what I mean? I think it is so heartbreaking that this 23-year-old woman is not with us. There are many more women and girls who have been killed in femicides that fell through the cracks of this same system, right? So we do have to at least acknowledge that incremental shift in the police force in at least having this conversation openly. Matt, what do you think?
Credit to Demke, I guess, insofar as that he took a look at the facts here and realized there was no defense. And I know that's setting an awfully low bar for issuing praise, but I'm kind of pleasantly surprised we're able to clear even that low bar.
Yeah.
I think to Lindsay's point as well, and Reshmi, you were talking about this a bit as well, I think there might be a bit of a lag between where we are as commentators, as journalists, as members of the chattering class, the blue check elite, whatever you want to call us. Like what Lindsay was saying there about the kind of like we start to get to the point where maybe people will start to doubt the systems. I don't know if we're in a bubble, or I don't know if that's just Canadian politeness, but I actually think the broader public is way the hell ahead of us on this issue. If we're just starting to look around and go, I don't know, the systems don't look good. The millions of common people out there who are just going about their lives looking to us for a little bit of information, a little bit of entertainment, they're giving up in droves. That is toxic to our democracy, but I don't think that's an abstract future threat. I think it's a thing that's happening already.
Absolutely.
Matt, I totally agree with you. And, you know, just to extend this, not to add another depressing topic in the mix, but when we look at the security of our kids in schools and the level of safety that we have there, that's completely diminished. When we look at all the crimes that happened during COVID, we knew that drug use was sky high. We knew that domestic abuse was higher than ever. We knew that people who were on the front lines were suffering, and that there'd be economic devastation. We knew all this.
And we needed to address them, right? Lindsay, I'm sorry, we're just up against the clock. I appreciate you both so much. Our smart speakers, Lindsay Broadhead and Matt Gurney. You're listening to The Rush right here on News Talk 1010 Toronto.